It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of March, a live Facebook edition. Boy, is the Eastern Conference ever awful. I mean, really, really awful. We'll talk about that, plus everything went right last night for the Utah Jazz in the standings. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, and it is live on Facebook today at Locked On Sports on Facebook. We'll probably be moving that site at some point. We have some things up our sleeves, an expansion of Locked On as well. So if you're a baseball fan, we got good news coming for you next week. All sorts of fun stuff. So anyway, you can get this podcast on the new app Himalaya. Check out Himalaya. It is got all sorts of fun playlists and the rest for you. And also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Hope you're doing well. Thank you very much for tuning in. Jazz were, you know what? The last two games, you can just dismiss it and say they're awful, and they are. But I also think you can look at it and say this. The Jazz are playing teams that are terrible, and they are staying inside of their system and playing the way they are supposed to. And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. You know, you can go play these awful teams and you'll make one pass and you'll have a good look, promise. And then you've got to be really disciplined to be able to take the next step and get an even better look. It's, you know, it's the Jim Collins. It's going from good to great. And the Jazz have done that really, really well. The defensive rating last night ends up being terrible, but the Jazz had their best single offensive night of the year. This is where cleaning the glass, the website, is really valuable, because the Jazz defensive rating by the end of last night looks like they had a terrible defensive night because they allowed, whatever, 37 points in the fourth quarter of a game that was a complete and utter blowout. And if you look at cleaning their offensive numbers, then it looks like one thing. He didn't have garbage time start till 5:37, though, left in the game. The Jazz offense last night was, according to Clean the Glass, was a 141.1 in pre-blowout time. It's the best by the Jazz all year. It's in the 99th percentile of all offenses. They just got whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, however they wanted. But that is actually impressive. I mean, I know the Knicks are terrible, but what you saw last night out of the Jazz was the fundamentals of who they are as a team. So in other words, if they execute their stuff, they got the shots they wanted, and then they took 41% of their shots at the rim and 46% of their shots as threes and ended up with 85% of their shots as smart shots because they were getting no resistance defensively, and so they got what they wanted. That is a sign of who the Jazz are, what they do, and what makes, you know, and it's not the hardest thing in the world to do. It's a lot harder to go beat Oklahoma City or probably beat Atlanta tonight or beat a really good team. But what's more important is that against these bad teams, the Jazz are doing, you know, pretty much exactly what you'd expect them to do and how they should do it. And that's a great sign. Let's run through our playoff picture. A lot of things went well for us last night. And then I'll try to get your questions in. And then I have a Locked On NBA scheduled with Nate Duncan immediately on the backside of this conversation. So we'll try to get to that as soon as possible. Last night, everything went the Jazz way. Most importantly is the Oklahoma City loss. The Jazz need Oklahoma City to lose as much as possible because they lose the tiebreaker, and the Jazz have to beat Oklahoma City. So the Oklahoma City had a 63 win probability going in against the Raptors, and they lost last night. Oklahoma City is now 1-4 in the five games they've played where they should win possibility, and they play 7 overall. They still have 4 just pure gimmies on their schedule this year, and they have two games that are pick-ems and 2 games that are unlikely. So I don't know, you know, we'll have to see. They play the Raptors, which is an unlikely coming up. Then they have the Grizzlies. They have the Pacers, which is a gimme. They play the Nuggets, where they're heavily favored. They play Dallas, who's not trying to win. They play the Lakers, who will shut it down. They'll play the Pistons, who they're better than. And then they have the Wolves, the Rockets, and the Bucks to close, and the Bucks may not care by opening night. I think Oklahoma City is going to right this ship only because they don't play anyone the rest of the way. Portland won last night. They beat Dallas. That was an 80% win game. That's the last of Portland's 80% win games. Houston lost to Memphis last night, despite James Harden going crazy. That was actually a pick'em game, 58. They go to 1-2 in their 3 pick'em games. The Jazz won last night, 85% win probability, doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're 4-0 in those games. San Antonio lost to the Heat. That was a 70 win percent. I think they just finally wore out. They're 2-2 in those games. Teams aren't winning those as much as you might think. So let's take a look at 538 and the rest of the projection systems and see what is out there. The Warriors still are projected at number 1. The Nuggets at number 2. The Rockets far behind now, 3 games behind the Nuggets for 3. So Nuggets are pretty well set at 2. Rockets are pretty seemingly set at 3. Trailblazers and Jazz both tied at 51. The Jazz would win that tiebreaker. Thunder dropping all the way down to 48 with the Spurs at 47 and the Clippers at 47. So that's Jazz Portland possibility seems like the most likely right now. And then we got to see if we can get ahead of the Thunder. This has the Jazz finishing 3 games ahead of the Thunder. Right now, the Jazz are 42-29, and the Thunder are 42-30. Basketball Reference always is a little different. They project their system projects a few less wins. They have Golden State 56, Nuggets 54. They now have the Blazers ahead of the Rockets at 51 versus 50.8, the Jazz at 49.8, the Spurs, the Clippers, and then the Thunder. So they have the Thunder at 8. Could you imagine Russell Westbrook going up on against Golden State in Kevin Durant in the opening round? ESPN has Golden State, Denver, Houston, Portland, then Utah at 5th at 50 wins, OKC at 48, San Antonio at 48, and the Clippers at 48. Wow! This is going to be nuts. Today's show is brought to you by Homey. Homey is revolutionizing the real estate world. For years, it's always been the same. Regardless of the price of your house, what you do is you go give 6% by the time you're done, depending which side of the ledger you're on, to the real estate agent. Doesn't matter. If you've gone and done a bunch of upgrades to your house and made your house much better, then you have to pay the real estate agent more. Is it an easier job for them because you did all that work? Absolutely it is. But that's the way it's worked. Not now. Now it has changed. Homey has changed the way this world is going to work. Now you play one simple flat fee, $1,500 to list your home. You want to find out more? Text Homey at 88588, or text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Let me just tell you a few things, though. Homey is selling faster than the market average, and they're selling for more than the market average. So, excuse me, you have a better price structure, you have a better pricing system, and you have somebody who's selling it faster and selling it at a better price. So that's why you should text Homie to find out more from my friends over at Homie. So go ahead and do that and tell me how it works out and tell me what your experience is. I think you'll find that this is someone revolutionizing and changing the way that the real estate world works in a way that I think you'll like it. 88588. Text LOCK to 88588. Today's show on this Thursday edition is also brought to you by my friends at Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross. Tyson and the crew run the ship down there. Chevy, the Murdochs, Utah, they've all been together for 90 plus years. And Chevy's got an unbelievable lineup of trucks. If you have not driven the Silverado, it is the greatest luxury truck out there. I know truck drivers don't like luxury being talked about, but that is what it is. It is just like sitting in a lazy boy chair while you are cruising above the world, perfectly quiet and comfortable. You can drive forever. The Colorado's the more versatile, smaller truck. I had the diesel. I loved it. We did everything with that truck. It was fabulous to have that and absolutely useful. The Equinox is the SUV that I drove for a long time. It's got beautiful. It's beautifully made. It's so quiet. I had a tendency to get up the canyon a little fast on that one. And all their touch screens and everything are very natural, and you can tell what detail Chevy's taken into all of it. It is all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also located in Logan. Check it out. Say hi to Tyson. Tell him Locke sent you over at Murdoch Chevy. All right, let's get to your questions today. This is going to be a little weird on Zoom. Sorry. All right, let's get to your questions. I always love those. Donovan Mitchell has been known to be inefficient and negative points gained, but from watching it seems so many of his mistakes lead to offensive rebounds or outback from Gobert or putbacks from Gobert. Is there a way to see if his misses lead to higher rates of offensive rebounds? No, probably not. I mean, I probably could try to figure some out. My guess is that it leads to a higher rate of offensive rebounds because Rudy's good at that, and that's his teammate. I would also guess that that's probably not entirely true. Donovan's inefficiency is what's keeping him from making All-NBA. It's interesting. I'm watching this All-NBA conversation go on right now for that third guard spot, and Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker and Klay Thompson and maybe Ben Simmons. And I have a hard time that Donovan's not involved in that conversation. Because we're going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference and maybe even in decent standing. And Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker are not going to make the playoffs. And to me, I have a hard time not giving credit for winning in those areas. I think that's the problem is he started the year badly, and that narrative is still living with him. But when you go take a look at Bradley Beal, you go take a look at Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal is definitely more efficient, but that seems terrible. And I feel like the fact that Donovan's winning matters, but Bradley Beal has had a better statistical year than, and I think Ben Simmons probably deserves to be in that conversation a little bit because they're winning. But I also wonder if Donovan Mitchell played in the Eastern Conference, what he might do. Because the fact is that the Eastern Conference is so bad. And Donovan shoots 3 percentage points better against the East than he does against the West. 4 percentage, I think, overall. 3 percentage points in his three-point shooting. So his effective field goal percentage, which is how you kind of bang on him and say that he's not as good as these other guys, gets out there. Now, probably worth talking about that Donovan's 22 and we're having a legitimate discussion of whether he's all NBA. I mean, that in itself is pretty incredible. Bradley's averaging 26 points. Donovan's averaging 24. Kemba's averaging 25. That's immaterial. Bradley's got one more rebound. And both those guys have an assist over Donovan. And their effective field goal percentage is a little better. So they're a notch above Donovan. Except for the fact that Donovan's team is going to make the playoffs. That to me is the biggest difference in this conversation. Went to Barbecue Pit Stop, picked up a bunch of rubs for the Traeger. Nice store, great variety. Cool. I thought it was really cool. Like, I know I'm not the hugest barbecue guy, but that store kind of made me into one. I think the best way to describe it is that idea that, like, it's a fly fisherman haven golfing. I'm glad you liked it. You guys, I cannot thank you enough for the support you have of our sponsors. It's really, really tremendously awesome that you support our sponsors the way you do. I cannot thank you enough. Why did this just happen again? I've lost my recording. I'll have to pick it up. I'll have to edit them together. Hello from Australia, from Roland. Hello. All right, Lori, who made fun of me about how tired I look this morning. This is the greatest job in the world, but the 2 o'clock bedtimes suck. By the way, can I share with you all? This is like the best day I've had in ages. I have one of my closest friends has been in really desperate, terrible situation, needing a liver transplant, and is in surgery right now. And so we see light at the end of the tunnel, my closest high school friend. And then another one of my friends, who I think you've probably heard about, has been battling cancer. I'm getting old. These things are happening. And her daughter just got named class president, which is pretty for next year, which is pretty awesome that this girl's gone through her mom, who's a single mom or divorced mom, going through cancer for the last, I don't know, 24 months, probably maybe longer. And here her daughter gets class president, like fighting through it. Just love these stories. So I'm in a great mood today, Lori, despite the fact you thought it looked like I had a long night. And I don't have long nights anymore. I stopped drinking a long time ago, so I do not go out late, other than I just work late. If you were to guess how many Jazz players rank in social activities compared to other teams, I don't know that. I think the truth is, and I'm on the Full 48 podcast with Howard Beck today. I think the truth is that the guys in our league are just incredible. I just think that they're really, truly incredible. Most of them understand the role they have. Most of them understand what they're able to do. And most of them do it. Ricky flying the kid in from Spain yesterday is amazing. Donovan in the shoes. Joe Ingles does a tremendous amount. Tabo does a tremendous These guys get it. They understand the wealth they have, the access they have, the impact they have. They're great. Miles wants to know who the Jazz should pursue in free agency. Miles, I am just not there right now. I apologize. We got 10 games left. We got to get into the playoffs, and that's where I am with this group. I think that's a hard conversation to have right now. Do the Jazz have two players that deserve to be on the All-NBA team? So Rudy is going to have to get in over Karl Anthony Towns, which, again, like, you're the number one defensive team in the league. Your win-loss record is what it is. You'd think that the league wouldn't be so obsessed with offense that Rudy would get all NBA. And then he becomes, I think, Supermax at some point. Eligible, which is painful, but you know what? We'll do it. I don't know if I really think Donovan deserves to be a third-team All-NBA guard over Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker, but I certainly think he needs to be in the discussion. I do feel pretty comfortable that Rudy should be in over Karl Anthony Towns, but I don't think I'm going to win that one. So I think both our guys are going to get boxed out of All-NBA. I think they're going to end up not getting it in both circumstances. Dallin, how many minutes do Gobert and Favors play together? And the impact of those minutes plus minus. They don't finish close games Well, both seem to have big impact in the game. So this is the essence of who the Jazz are. The Jazz have three different lineups right now. The three different lineups that the Jazz have right now are the Favors and Gobert together, the Favors center, and the Gobert center. So let's do, I can do this. We can do this together. I'll do it live right now. We'll run through it. So with Favors and Gobert on the floor, we did this the other day, but it's always good to do it again. And it's interesting. NBA stats numbers are not adding up right now. And I think, you know, so that's disappointing. And evidently I have the slowest internet in the world, so maybe this isn't going to work. But here it is. Favors and Gobert together, the Jazz are a plus 2.4. The offensive rating is 100.9, and the defensive rating is a 98.6, and they average spending 10 minutes a game on the floor together. Okay, so that's... So that's the first one. Favors on the floor without Gobert. Or excuse me, Gobert on the floor without Favors is part two. And the Jazz are a plus 6.4. The offense is a 109.4. The defense is a 103.0. And the Jazz are a plus 6.4. So we're plus 2.4 with them both for 10 minutes a night. We are, and we play them 22 minutes a night with just, and the flip side of this is that with Favors and Gobert off the floor, we're plus 3.4. So our worst lineup is our starting lineup, as has often been the case. It's a lot of stuff going on. I wonder if you're hearing all these little dings and things and dings of all those kind of things. So interesting comments. All right, today's show also brought to you by InterCap Lending. This is a great story. InterCap Lending, Josh Romney brought InterCap Lending back to Utah. And when they've been a mortgage company, lending company for over 40 years, and now they're back and they're expanding and they're doing great work. Why? Because they get deals done. As a direct lender, they have the flexibility and capability to get deals done that other people simply can't get done. That's why real estate agents go to them, because they want to get deals done and they have great relationships. They are offering you, the Locked On Jazz listener, a corporate discount. So call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. And have Steve Carter help you out. InterCap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. The reviews from the Locked On Jazz people are incredible. Tanner Lacey, I work with Steve Carter. By far the best experience I've ever had with a lender. Steve's always on top of everything. He was consistent contact with me and my builder to make sure everything was moving along great, and he was always super helpful. There was one point in the process where we hit a little bit of a speed bump, and not only did Steve help us get over it, he stayed until 8 on a Friday night to make sure the paperwork and information was ready and the third party working with to take care of it. Call Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. All right, let me take a few more of your questions. The Jazz are 18-21 against the top 15 defensive teams in the league. Any idea how that stacks up against the rest of the Western Conference? That's a great find. So against the top defensive teams, that's interesting. I wonder what we are against top offensive teams. Fact of the matter is we are great against bad teams. That's, for all this talk of we're inconsistent and these things, I don't think any of that's true. The fact of the matter is we have been incredibly consistent. We beat the bad teams easily, and we've struggled against some of the better teams. But that's an interesting, I want 18-20, I wonder what we are versus top, do we have, I feel like we have a tougher time against the best offensive teams because they're able to match what, we can't, let me rephrase that. I think we struggle against great offense teams because even if our defense has an impact, we can't get their offenses down far enough to get to ours. And that's what our struggle is. So it's interesting that we struggle against the good defensive teams too. I know there's Oklahoma City 0-4 skews that a little bit. I know this is a... Why is this keep doing this? So annoying. Keeps telling me it's changed my microphone and then it stops recording. All right, let's continue with the next question. I know there's a little ways out, but is there any way we could get Drew Holiday this offseason, maybe a sign and trade for Rubio and Cephalosha, maybe a second round pick? So just in general, it's always a possibility. The tricky thing is that, you know, the Jazz had $30 million of expiring contracts, and now those contracts are going to be much more difficult to trade. Like Cephalosha, you can't trade in the offseason because he's – and you can't do multiple sign and trades. And Rubio would have to want to go to New Orleans, and New Orleans would want to have Rubio. So – and, like, why would New Orleans possibly do that deal? Like, why would New Orleans trade for Ricky Rubio and give up Drew Holiday? So it's some of the flexibility. We have some financial flexibility, but pieces flexibility we lost when we didn't get things, when things just didn't happen. It's not that we didn't get it done. It's just things didn't happen at the trade deadline. Am I outlandish to hope that Joe Ingles has his jersey retired, or what would it take for him to do that? I don't know. I mean, it depends your viewpoint on jersey retires. Nick Collison just had his jersey retired. You know, do you have to be an all-time great? Do you just have to be a fan favorite? Like, what is your view on how you want to do jersey retires? I think that's a huge question. We don't need any... What just happened again? All right, continue. We don't need any new players, gifts, if you will. We are a team. You can't purchase that. All right. Loving Quinn's rotation right now. We are where are we now in offensive ranking outside the starting five? You know, since Kyle Korver trade, where I think the 10th best offensive team, second best defensive team, and we are the number two differential team in the NBA since then. All right, a little bit of a rocky show today, but thanks for sticking with me. A lot of different things going on. Appreciate it very much. Talk to you soon. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.